But over the past 2 weeks, we've been answering a few questions. And the first question that we jumped off from was this question, who is Jesus? And the simple answer, Jesus is God. Amen? Amen? Amen. Man, come on, you need to catch this fire that's just welling up inside of me. Man, Jesus is God. He rules in the earth, man. And he's filled with all, Scripture says, all authority in heaven and earth is his. That through the cross, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, that he did it all, man. He is God. He was with the Father at creation. Whenever the Father said in Genesis 1:26, he says, come, let us make man in our own image. You can go check it out. Who is he talking to? He's talking to Jesus. He has been with us forever. Jesus is God. What did he accomplish? Well, Jesus defeated death, sin, and Satan, reconciling man back to God. Folks, he unleashed salvation into the earth. He unleashed salvation. And this word saved or salvation is this word sozo. And sozo is a huge word in the Greek because it just doesn't simply mean I made a decision to follow Jesus. It means that and so much more. But it means saved, healed, delivered, blessed, prospered, protected, made whole. And Jesus unleashed that into the earth through his salvation. And that's, man, how can you say what all that Jesus accomplished? I mean, well, pretty much everything. But he unleashed salvation into the earth. And so today, where we're at is, what does it mean to me? What does this mean to me? Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you here into this moment. And Holy Spirit, we know that no one can say Jesus is Lord except but by you, Holy Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, just have free reign here and now in this moment to speak to our hearts and to quicken our minds, and that we might know and believe that Jesus is God and that there's no other way to the Father except through the Son, and that, Father, that we would just be made alive, Father, to the power of this salvation. Holy Spirit, take control of this moment. We submit to you this moment. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray today. Amen. You know, we live in the age of cell phones. Believe it or not, we used to exist before them. Believe it or not, I would drive across town without a cell phone. That's unimaginable now, isn't it? I mean, what am I to do if I leave my cell phone behind? And you know, and with all of the advances of technology, you know, I'm usually the last in line. I mean, eventually I get there, but you know, even with cell phones, man, it took me a while to get there. And I remember the invention of text messaging, and I thought, man, this is awesome. And Aaron's going like, it costs us 15 cents a minute. You're going to kill us, you know, or 15 cents a text. And I was going, and when you do all those group texts, it costs us $1.50. How are we going to be able to, you know, pay for this, you know? But for the most part, for me and my cell phone, I do pretty much three things. And that is call, text, or email. And maybe on occasions a little bit of Angry Birds, but we're not going to go there this morning. But here's the thing, the capacity of what this cell phone can do is almost at a level of Star Trek. For those, who are all the Star Trek people? Are you a Trekkie in here? Raise your hand, be proud to admit it today. There is no shame, only maybe a little judgment, but no shame, no. But see, but the thing that this cell phone is able to do is amazing. I mean, you can talk to this thing. Remember on Star Trek, it says, computer, look this up, you know? Well, see, we've got Siri. You know, you can talk to Siri, and what this phone can do, it just blows your mind. So, you know, it can check your heart rate. It can check your blood sugar levels. Man, what else can it do? I mean, FaceTime, that was something that used to only be imagined, you know, when growing up. I remember thinking how cool that would be. GPS, if you're lost, you're never lost if you have a phone. Right? Well, you shouldn't be. And now, like, my kids think that this way of living is normal. It hadn't been normal. I mean, this has only been around for a few years. But it's amazing. And even recently, you know, I've had certain scenarios that had to pull me out of what's normal cell phone living for me. You know, I've ventured out into some possibilities, and man, its capacities are really unheard of. Now, when it comes to salvation, you're kind of like me. We can kind of be like me when it comes to cell phones. See, I just, you know, text, call, or email, but when it comes to salvation, we typically think in the context of forgiveness, love, and mercy. We get the basics covered. We want the basic package. But there is so much more to this salvation than just beyond those elements. You see, I had to learn that there is much more to cell phones, that there's this amazing capacity, but my tendency with a cell phone is kind of like this. I'll ignore it. It's for other people. But in the same way with this salvation, you know, we might hear certain stories, we might hear certain things, we might hear about it, healing, we might hear about new life, we might hear about its capacity to break addiction in our life, we might hear about its ability just to change our total direction of life, but we have this attitude, well, but that's just for other people. But it's not really for me. Folks, it's for you. Whenever you came to salvation, it's like you bought the phone with all its capacities, with all of its functions. You have it. It's just you might not know how to access it. And that's why the Apostle Paul says we got to work out this salvation. We got to work it out. We got to find out what all the apps are. We got to find out how to download this thing into our life. Amen? Because I'm telling you, here's the thing. When we begin to access some of this salvation at a higher level, you know what eventually happens to you? You start to look like Jesus. You start to shine like Jesus shined. You begin to look like him. You begin to embrace his character. You begin to look like Jesus. And then suddenly this nature inside of you that was deposited on the inside begins to work its way out, and your life begins to shine with the character and nature of Jesus. And whenever the character and the nature and the goodness of Jesus begins to shine out of you, what happens is you find yourself embracing the same mission that he came to the earth with. Are you tracking with me? Are you with me this morning? Whenever I begin to embrace and become conformed to the image of Christ, I find myself doing the same mission that he came to the earth to do. See, here's the big idea this morning. I have a new nature that puts me on mission. I have a new nature. There's a Christ-likeness in me that puts me on his same mission. Amen? So let's go back to this Philippians passage. Philippians 2:12b. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. See, salvation is both immediate and process. It's immediate in that I'm forever forgiven. I'm a son. I've been adopted into this amazing kingdom. I'm an inheritor of the kingdom. I've been seated with Christ in heavenly places. Immediately, I'm delivered. But it's also a process. It's a process of unloading wrong thinking. It's a process of unloading bad ideas. It's a process of continually having my eyes opened to the amazing reality of this salvation. How many of you realize that you didn't know what you didn't know until you knew that you knew it, and then you didn't know that you know it, and then whenever you knew it, you figured out you didn't really know it? Don't ask me to repeat that. I'm not even sure if it makes sense. But you know what I'm talking about. You see, the cell phone has been purchased. I fully own it, but I don't understand its capacity. And when I've received salvation, I have it. It's mine. No one can take it from me, but I don't understand all its capacity. How many of you understand that whenever you were born again, you were totally righteous in an instant? Before the Father, man, you were made righteous, you were made whole. How many of you understand that as soon as you came to Christ, you didn't look righteous? You are, but you ain't. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. See, and you know what? And here's the deal. That is perfectly okay. Maybe a long time. Yeah, I'm righteous before God, but my life doesn't look like it. But you know what? That's okay, because God is at work in you. God has a plan. He is molding and shaping you into his own image to get us to look like Jesus. And what did Jesus do? Jesus came to reveal the Father. And see, whenever you get conformed and begin to look like Jesus, you become that person who's revealing the Father to the world. You become that light to the earth. Come on, that ought to make some of you excited. Whenever you start to look like Jesus, there's a chance you might glow in the dark. See, Isaiah 60 says that arise and shine. This is a prophecy to the church. Arise, shine, for your light has come. You see, whenever the church really begins to believe who we are in Jesus, there's this radiance, there's this glory. We become like that Matthew 5, like that city set up on a hill, that's a lamp that's begun to shine. Whenever we believe who Jesus is, whenever we believe what he says about us, whenever we get conformed to the image of Christ, we reveal the Father, we become that light that shines in the earth. That's exciting. You can flip over to Romans chapter 8. We're going to unpack something. It's going to be fun. Well, fun for me. We'll see how it works out for the rest of you. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God. That's good news right there already. To those who are called in accordance to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. Let's unpack some of this. So let's just check out this pathway of redemption. So it begins, for whom he foreknew. Foreknew, that means God has intimate future knowledge of people and events. You and me. He foresaw this day. He foreknew every aspect of your life. You're waking up and you're going down. The day you were born and the day you returned to go be with him, he foreknew it all. Predestined. And those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Predestined means that you got a predestiny marked out by God for you. You got a destiny. How many of you, I'm telling you, it's a powerful, powerful day when you began to disconnect from your past and begin to believe the destiny that God has for your life. How many of you know that's a good day? Say, God has a destiny waiting for you to join your faith with. Amen? So he has a destiny mapped out. Those whom he predestined, he also called. And so because he had this destiny marked out for you, he began calling you. He began speaking to you. He sent a friend. He sent a relative. He sent this crazy preacher. He sent this person to talk to you. He began to do whatever it took to begin to get the word of God into your life and to begin to call you. And those he called, he justified. Meaning, we came to faith. We responded to the call, we believed, and we stepped into that justification, that just as if I never sinned reality because of Jesus. He justified us and he restored us back to the Father. But then as we receive that justification, here's the next thing that happens, conformed. As we begin to learn the teachings of Christ and we begin to hear his word and we begin to learn what it means to lean into the influence of the Holy Spirit into our life, we begin to look like Jesus. We begin to sound like Jesus. We begin to invite his life into our life and it begins to take over. Conformed to his image. And see, the great thing about this, guys, is that you are not alone. You look at your life today and you go like, man, there ain't nothing that looks like him. I want you to know something. You are not alone. You are not alone in this process. Many times the process of being conformed into his image is inviting the Holy Spirit to come and help you. You know, one of the ways that we get conformed is simply by the Lord speaking to us and us agreeing. I thought it was harder than that. No, if he speaks and you agree, there's power. There's power to sanctify. Amen? So those whom he conformed, those whom he justified, he also glorified. Of course, the first implication here is a huge one. It means that we get to go to heaven when we die. But you will never, 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 neither death nor life, angels nor demons can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That he glorifies you. That is a reality that you'll never be separated from him. You'll be with him for forever. But the other part of you being glorified is that he plans to fill you with his glory now before you die. See, Jesus prayed in John 17, he says, Father, glorify them with the glory that you have given me. How many of you understand that's a big prayer Jesus has prayed for you? He desires, he's actually prayed that your life would be filled with his glory. You see, and the Apostle Paul even maps this out in 2 Corinthians 3:18, that he said that we would be transformed from glory to glory by beholding him. You remember this, 2 Corinthians 3:18? He has a plan for your life to be filled with glory. John chapter 1, verse 14, I believe it is. It says that Jesus, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. See, God's plan with Jesus is kind of the same deal with you. God wants the Word of God with skin on in the world. He wants you to be the embodiment of the Word of God, to be a carrier of Christ, to be his glory and to shine it out all over the place. See, here's the deal. When we go through the process of being conformed to the image of Jesus, we become character or carriers of his glory. The more and more you look like Jesus, the more you carry his glory. Reflecting his image, reflecting his character, you're reflecting his thoughts, you're reflecting his opinions. You begin to think like he thinks. You begin to feel what he feels, and you begin to do what he's doing in a moment. So what happens to me as I get conformed to the image of Christ? I become a carrier of his glory. I begin to look like a disciple. And this new nature inside of me, when I become a carrier of this glory, I become a light to the world that is around me. Are you following me? Are you tracking today? This new nature in you puts you on mission. What is that mission? Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Growing up, right after I was saved, our pastor preached this passage and it terrified me. And I thought to myself, how in the world will I ever do that? I can barely talk to my classmates about what happened over the weekend. I mean, I was an introvert, shy person. That's where I was. And so whenever we look at the hugeness of this command and this great commissioning, how many of you find that just a little bit intimidating? Can you be honest with me this morning? That is just a little bit intimidating. So how, if I got this glory, if I'm this carrier of the nature of Christ, if I'm working these things out, I'm supposed to look like him, supposed to get on mission, just how does that happen practically? How can I get on mission practically? Number one, take it home. Before you go to the world, take it home. You see, the people who need your Christ-likeness the most are the people who live under the same roof as you. The people that you need to believe the best about are the people who live in the same house as you. The people who you see every day are the people that need your Christ-likeness the most. How can I be a carrier of this mission? Boy, carry it home. Husbands, put on Jesus. Wives, put on Jesus. Teenagers, put on Jesus. Many reasons why we are not able to take it to the world is because we haven't learned the secret of taking it home first. Because taking it home is the proving ground. It really is where the rubber meets the road. I'm telling you what, folks, and don't lose hope here. What you need to do is begin to ask God to give you the same opinion of your wife that he has. You need to begin to ask God to give you the same opinion of your husband as he has. And it goes all the way throughout. Children, same attitude, same opinion. You begin to adopt his opinions. You begin to speak God's opinion over them. This is what Jesus says about you. This is how I choose to see you. You may be acting crazy now, but I'm choosing to see you like Jesus sees you. You're acting a fool now, but listen, I believe the best about you.
by faith. And there's a lot of faith right now. I need a lot of faith because I'm seeing this over here.
But if you want to take it to the world, take it home. See, one of the things that God spoke to me a long time ago is that if you want to go big, you better learn the art of going small. Take it home. And then take it to your neighbor. The people who you are immediately connected with. You just begin to share with them God's opinion of them, how he feels about them. And you know what's crazy about a lot of this? When you learn the art of taking it home and you begin to embrace God's opinion of yourself, a lot of times, you don't have to pick up and go. They'll come to you. People ask you, what are you doing differently in your family? Why does it seem to work with you guys? What's going on there? A lot of times you don't always have to go across the street. They'll just know something across the street is different about you. How does that work? Because what happens is as that transformative power of the character and nature of Christ begins to get formed in you, then he begins to glorify you to where you shine as light. Your life becomes light. See, the last thing the world needs today is someone who boasts in the gospel but does not embody it. No, embody it. Become a carrier of it. And let your life shine. He'll take you to the neighbor. As you embody this gospel, he'll take you to the neighbor. As you embody this, he'll set things into motion. But Isaiah 60, it says, and then the nations will come to your light. Are you with me this morning? See, many Christians never make it to mission because they're trying to fix what the cross already provided. Many Christians never make it to mission because they are stuck trying to fix what the cross already provided. Many Christians are just ate up trying to make themselves better before they do anything. So many Christians are trying to earn forgiveness that they already have in Jesus. So many Christians carry shame and guilt and condemnation over their past, knowing that the cross has the power to wipe it all away. May that never be our testimony here. Amen.